Take your Bibles, and we continue in our worship. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We come to a rather interesting section today, one that I've actually found very difficult to prepare a message on, because I'm not a fashion guru, and our text today is on dressing for the glory of God. How to dress for church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 9. Likewise, also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. This is the word of the living God. Our Father, we come to you, desperate to hear from you. This is your word, and every word is important. Every word was written for our instruction. Father, help us to be instructed. Give us the wisdom of your Spirit that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear. Give me wisdom that I would speak well. But Lord, I depend upon your power. I depend upon your power to take your word and to write it on our hearts. Please, attend to us today. Teach us, convict us of sin, and help us to see your glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine that 5 minutes before the service started, the Kardashians came in and sat on the front pew. And they would, of course, be very welcome. We would rejoice that they were here. We would praise God that they were here to hear the gospel. Their presence, though, could become a distraction. Their expensive clothes might catch the eyes of the women. Their jewelry might become a distraction to us. Their form-fitted clothes would probably become a distraction to some of the men. Their sheer superstar quality, even if you don't follow those things, would be a distraction. It would catch all of our attention, and during the service, every eye would keep moving distractedly back to them. No one would be able to focus on the songs, on the reading, on the prayers, or the sermon, because they would have so many questions about our celebrity visitors. And whether they intended to or not, they would steal the show. And I dare say Jesus would not be the center of attention. He would be competing with these women. But these things ought not to be this way. When we gather for worship, Jesus must be the center of our attention. And so we should ask ourselves, does God care what I wear? And so we return to 1 Timothy chapter 2 for the answers today. And I remind you that we've been in this study of 1 Timothy now for some time, and that it was written, according to chapter 3, verse 15, so that we will know how we ought to conduct ourselves in the household of God. Paul is explaining to Timothy and us, according to chapter 1, verse 18, how we should fight for truth and for purity within the church. You remember, we spent 4 weeks studying that paragraph, that we are waging the good warfare. And that warfare that we are waging is not a fleshly, physical warfare. Rather, it is a warfare for the truth, and it is a warfare for purity. And we wage this warfare constantly, even in corporate worship, when the church assembles itself together. During the church service, we found that the first priority of spiritual warfare, the first correction Paul had for the church at Ephesus, was that they were to be praying evangelistically. All kinds of prayers for all kinds of people, even for kings, even for all who are in authority. And according to verse 8, this was to be done as the men were lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Apparently, when they prayed corporately, their prayers were full of barbs and attacks. And so now Paul is saying, no, in peace, with unity, pray. And when there's infighting in the church, everything tends to be facing inward. And all of their prayers then were facing inward. And Paul says, that's enough of that. Stop it. Turn around. You have an outward focus. That is your commission. Pray for the salvation of God to go to the ends of the earth. Pray that all who are in authority would be saved. Pray. And in so doing, you will find unity. And do this without wrath or dissension. Do this without being angry with one another. Lift up holy hands, not unholy hands. So that was his first priority. Pray evangelistically during the service. And of next importance in our spiritual warfare and right conduct in the service of the church is to make sure that we dress ourselves inside and out in a manner that is pleasing to God, in a way that glorifies Him. We want to make sure that we're not making ourselves a distraction that will take all of the eyes off of Jesus. He is to be the star of the show. He is to be the center of attention. Paul will instruct us in these verses that this is done by dressing in a modest manner on the outside and by dressing with purity and holiness on the inside. And so I want you to remember, according to chapter 1, verse 5, the goal of our instruction. So everything that's written, everything that we say here from the pulpit, must be for this purpose: love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And when we pay more attention to the inward state of our hearts, we will naturally dress in a way that brings glory to God. As I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking about the differences between men and women, male and female. And it's really so striking to me, especially as we think about clothing. For the most part, I barely pay attention to what I wear from day to day. There's a couple times Ashton tells me, no, turn around, go back. My wife takes great pains in picking out the clothing that she's going to wear. I avoid clothes shopping for years on end. My wife will shop every day if you let her. That's just who she is. In fact, we went to dinner last night. We got out of the car. First thing that she did is she was attracted to a dress that was in the window of a shop. My boys think very little about clothes, I think. They very rarely complain about their clothes unless they're itchy or they don't fit right. My girls, however, from the very moment that they could communicate it, we're very picky about clothes. I can remember one of the girls just as a baby, just like basically shaking her little baby head like, no, I'm not going to wear that. Dad, what are you talking about? That top and that bottom? That just doesn't. And in fact, our two-year-old, if you leave the closet door open, she will come out with a different dress on about every 10 minutes or so. Our family's been witness to that this weekend. Clothes seem to dominate their thoughts all day long, and for the boys, it seems like it's hardly an issue. And I realize that this is a generalization, an oversimplification. The truth is that men can get just as caught up in worrying about how they look, how stylish they are, about wearing the name-brand clothing and shoes, wearing expensive watches to show off. And for these reasons, this passage benefits us as well. So men, don't tune out just because this is written specifically to women. There's a lot for us here as well. And the Holy Spirit then teaches us how to prepare inside and out for corporate worship. And we find what outer and inner respectable apparel is. And that's my outline. You can see that on your sheet. First of all, we'll start with outer respectable apparel. Look at verse 9. Paul writes, likewise. So he's already dealt with men holding up holy hands in prayer without wrath or anger or dissension. Now he says, likewise, in the same way. So notice that his thought here is on purity, it's on holiness, it's on unity. Likewise, also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel. Now, the truth is that clothing, apparel, adornment can sometimes become an issue in the church service. This problem, it can be caused by men, but it often seems to be caused by women. Some tend to wear rather risque, revealing clothes that aren't appropriate. Others tend to show off fashionableness to an extreme. And others actually go the complete opposite way and take the commands here to be that they should dress in a frumpy way or in a manner that is reminiscent of many generations ago. But I think that this passage speaks against all of these extremes. And I realize in saying this, I might step on some toes. I don't have anyone in mind as I say these things. If I had a choice, this would probably be one of the last sermons I would ever preach. I would only preach this if it ever became a problem in the church. But this is the beauty and the wisdom of expository preaching. As we go verse by verse by verse, we're given not to my wisdom in choosing topics for every week, but we're given to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit who inspired the scripture. And so he has written this for our instruction and for our benefit. And so we need this passage. We need to understand this passage. And as we study this passage then, think about this. Are we dressing ourselves so that we become the star of the service? Are we thinking, look at me? Notice me. Pay attention to me. And in doing so, do we take all the attention off of Christ? Or do we dress to the glory of God? Apparently, the women in Ephesus were dressing in order to bring attention to themselves. And in so doing, they were becoming the star of the service. They were taking attention off of Christ. So Paul reminded Timothy that part of right behavior in church is right behavior when it comes to clothing and makeup and jewelry. And this is part of waging the good warfare for truth and for purity. The Holy Spirit writes to us all to dress in such a way that we're not a distraction from truth or a hindrance to purity. This is not, I need to be quick to throw this in, this is not written to make us legalistic. We don't need rules about this. I'm not going to station anybody at any of the doors with a checklist. And if you don't meet all of the specifications, well, you can't come in the door. That's not the point of this. We don't need more rules. We have the Spirit. We're not in bondage to the law. We're not going to check skirt length at the door. We're not going to confiscate anyone's jewelry. We're not going to hand out ties to the men. We don't need rules. We have the Spirit of God who gives us wisdom to do what is right in God's sight. And the way that we dress ourselves says a lot about our values. It says a lot about the way that we think. What does the way that you dress say about your values? Does it communicate a renewed mind? Does it communicate that your thoughts Your goal, your motivation in everything is the glory of God and to put attention on Christ Jesus. As we come to worship God, we remember that we are coming before the God who created all things, and we should dress appropriately. Now, women, verse 9, should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. Now, I have to make this observation because it's here in the text. Paul tells the women to adorn themselves. He's not saying cancel it all. He's not saying not to adorn yourself at all. He's not saying put it all away. He's not saying to spend no time on how you look. And men, the next time that you have a dinner date, a reservation at a certain time, and it's getting close, and you're standing in the hallway, checking your watch, tapping your foot, jingling your keys, thinking, when is she going to be done? Remember this, God told her to adorn herself. She's just following the commands of God. Her adornment. And remember that our focus in 1 Timothy is on the church service itself. Her adornment is to be respectable and modest. Now, modest means to be decent, to be orderly. Some have translated it unpretentious or free from shame. To dress respectably is to dress modestly in a way that will not bring shame. And self-control is a word that means sound mind. So one of the commentators quips that in getting ready for church, women must practice sanity. And he goes on, they must not try to show off, to be all the rage, wearing flashy apparel so as to make others jealous of them. So when you get ready for church, dress with a sane mind. And just as we shouldn't come to church ostentatiously dressed, neither should we come to church in an unkempt manner. Paul is certainly not encouraging us to show up to church looking like we just crawled out of bed. Modesty and self-control is essential too, because we don't want to come to church in order to make others stumble. And again, this goes just as much for men as it does women, but in our culture, we have this tendency of barely covering the female anatomy. Pictures and videos and magazines and commercials and movies and social media all seem to compete to see how much skin they can show before the censors will ban it. And we live in that environment. We have grown up and we breathe in that environment. Little girls are being conditioned to this. Little boys are being conditioned too. And it's not just in the media that we watch, it's on the streets. And maybe it's not as pronounced here in a small town like Concordia, but if you go to a bigger town or a bigger city, you find it everywhere. When Ashton and I were still rather quite young, just married, 2013, we moved to California in order to go to seminary. And as we're in Los Angeles walking the streets in LA, we very quickly found out that there are some very indecent people walking around. And we had to develop a word that whenever she said it, I would drop my eyes to the ground and be led by her until she said it's all clear. Or vice versa, because there were a lot of men walking around with parts exposed. And it was something we dealt with all the time. Praise the Lord, we don't deal with that here quite as much. Our culture has lost almost all sense of modesty, all sense of self-control when it comes to dressing oneself. But we are not of this world. Our Lord has rescued us out of this world, and he has renewed our mind. And he desires us to do all things to bring glory to him. And yes, both men and women need to work on mortifying lust. If they look at your outfit and they lust after you, it's their own sin. But yet, at the same time, we should also love our brother and our sisters so that we dress in such a way that perhaps we can help them not to stumble. A man or a woman who's enslaved to lust is going to come and sit, and they're going to lust after everyone no matter what. But for the man or the woman who's overcoming lust by the grace of God, we should dress ourselves in such a way that we're not a hindrance or a stumbling block to them. So Paul gives us some examples of how to outwardly adorn our bodies respectably, modestly, and discreetly. Look at the next verse. Not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire. Now, at this moment, you might be sitting here thinking, great, the one day I braid my hair. Great, the one day I wear my jewels. Well, don't hide those pearl necklaces just yet. Let's understand this. You see, Paul is battling excess, and excess in the grossest extreme. It was common in the first century in Rome and in Roman culture that women would dress in such a way so as to bring all the attention upon themselves. They would show off their wealth, their high class, their prestige. And they would do this by braiding and twisting their hair layer upon their heads. And if they wanted to go even higher, they could go out and buy more hair, and they could twist it into their hair and keep piling and keep piling and keep piling. And then in every layer, they're putting gold ribbon, they're putting gold jewels, they're putting pearls, they're putting all of these costly things, more wealth than most people see in a lifetime going into a hairdo, as their hair is being piled and piled and piled and piled upon their head. And if you take your phone out and you look up an image on Google for this, you can do that later, then you can see portraits of these women. I mean, you thought the 80s had big hair. And you can imagine what it would be like to sit behind someone in the church service whose hair was piled higher than you are tall. You couldn't see. You'd be distracted. Imagine sitting behind a whole row of those ladies. It would be a distraction. And not just a distraction. You can imagine that when the rich women would dress this way for church, it would rouse coveting in the poorer women. Right? Man, I wish I had her money. I wish I had her style. I wish I was as beautiful as her. And it would rouse coveting in the men as well. Man, I wish I had that money that I could put toward my wife's hairdo. I wish my wife had her style and her beauty. You can understand. It would take all eyes off of Christ because all eyes would be going to them. So women, is braiding your hair for church sinful? No. Is wearing gold or pearls sinful? No. Is it wrong to wear nice clothes? No. We're dressing for the King, after all. But we're not dressing to show off ourselves. 1 Peter chapter 3 helps us here. You can jot this down, turn there, or you can check it out later. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the context is different. It's not on the church service. The focus is on the home and how the wife is to be in the home. And Peter is speaking specifically to wives at home, but his instruction is similar there. 1 Peter 3, verse 3, he says, your adornment must not be, and then you might have the word merely in italics. And whenever you have a word in your Bible that's in italics, remember, your Bible is translated, the New Testament is translated out of Greek into English or whatever language you have in your lap. And very often, because Greek and English are different languages, it's not easy to translate word for word. And so you have to add some things in to help make sense of what's being said. So whenever you have a word in italics, that's when the translators just decided they needed to throw a word in to help us. And this word belongs here. It's good. It helps us. Your adornment must not be merely external. So what's he saying? Yes, it should be external, right? You better be dressing yourself. But that's not what's important. That's what the merely is trying to imply here. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Now, if the merely does not belong there, follow me here. If the merely does not belong there, Peter is telling the women to not be dressed. He would be saying, your adornment must not be external, putting on clothes. The men might be okay with that, I don't know. At least at home, I don't know. Probably shouldn't have said that. But you see, your adornment must not be merely external. You are to get dressed. You are to put on clothes. And this way, he's not outlawing braiding the hair. He's not outlawing wearing gold jewelry. But that's not the focus. Verse 4 says, let it be the hidden person of the heart, what you are inside, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So Paul says to adorn yourselves, and adorn yourselves, yes, on the outside, in a way that is honoring to God, but think about more, adorning yourselves with reverence for God. Not giving priority to things like a fancy hairdo or the most glamorous dress that you can find, but giving high priority to spiritual apparel. So don't overdo your exterior apparel, but if there is something to overdo, it would be your inner apparel. Your inner apparel. And that brings us to number 2, inner respectable apparel. We looked at outward respectable apparel. Here is inner respectable apparel. Instead of emphasizing outward apparel, the Lord would have the women to prioritize, verse 10, what is proper for women who profess godliness. Good works. And again, this goes for everyone. In fact, as I've already said, Paul told the man in verse 8 to lift up holy hands without wrath or dissension. And now he instructs the women to give holiness its proper place. And that is true beauty. Makeup fades, clothes wear out, gold loses its luster, but godliness is eternal. In fact, your wardrobe is going to burn one day along with every earthly thing. Peter, again, in 2 Peter chapter 3, says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and its works will be burned up. Everything is going to burn. Everything is going to be destroyed in that day. Even your dresses, even your makeup, even your suits, even your ties. But good works are always in vogue. Kindness is always fashionable. Gentleness is always beautiful. In fact, Peter goes on in verse 11 to say this, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? That is what matters, far and above whatever you wear on the outside. What does your inside look like? How are you adorning your inner person? And we should strive every day to adorn ourselves with the beauty and the character that was present in our Lord, full of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He gives us his spirit, and he commands us to walk in that spirit, putting to death the deeds of the flesh and putting on righteousness. And that is true beauty. And when we focus on those things, the outside is going to take care of itself. When we focus on the inside, the outside is going to come to us naturally. And sadly, true inner beauty is not what is in vogue in our culture. Our culture may give lip service to inner beauty. They'll talk about it all day long. But social media shows that the prevailing philosophy is on outward beauty. And so young girls especially, hear me here. Beware of social media. Beware of what you see on TikTok and on Instagram and things such as that. I'm not saying not to use those things. I'm saying to use them with much caution. Because your mind will be brought to that. Your mind will be instructed from that. We want our minds to be instructed from the Scripture. If you are in Christ and you love God, you should be putting your mind to the Scripture. That your mind would be renewed to the Scripture every single day, not conformed to the world. In fact, Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, says that you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You've taken it off like a coat. You've taken it off like a garment. And you've put it aside. This flesh with its evil practices, its evil tendencies, its evil thoughts. And you've put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So you put off this old garment of your flesh, and now you've put on this new garment of righteousness given to you in Christ Jesus. And Paul's saying, wear that. Don't go back to the old one. Walk in righteousness. Continue to be renewed in your mind. Don't put on again the garment of the flesh. And verse 12, Colossians 3. As those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance and forgiveness. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then he says, above all, not just kindness and compassion and so on, above all, to wrap it all up, put on love, which is like a belt that binds the whole garment together, ties everything together. Walk in the love of God. Adorn yourself with love, with kindness and compassion and gentleness, self-control. That is beautiful. I want to point out just a few women in the New Testament who model this for us. There are quite a few, and I just picked out four. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. There was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is translated Dorcas. Not the most beautiful of names. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. That is beautiful in the sight of God. Romans chapter 16 has many women listed. In verses 1 through 2, you have Phoebe, who is a deacon at Centuria. And Paul says that she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. A helper, an aid. That is beautiful. The next verse, Romans 16:3, says, greet Prisca and Aquila, husband and wife, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks. That's beautiful. Romans 16:6, Mary, I don't know which Mary, but Mary, who has worked hard for you. That's beautiful. Romans 16:12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. That's beautiful. These women are models of inner beauty, putting on good works for the glory of God. If we adorn our insides to glorify God, naturally, we will adorn our outside, our exterior, to glorify God. So I hope that you see, we should dress and groom ourselves in the fear of the Lord, especially when we come into the church service, dressing ourselves modestly and discreetly. And our attention should not be fixed on exterior adornment, but on inner adornment. And to that end, my friends, focus upon the condition of your hearts. Put a lot of time into your inner adornment and put to death the deeds of the flesh and put on good works. And in doing this, you will have to think counterculturally. You won't be able to take your cues from the media, from magazines or Instagram or television. You should take your cue from the Word of God, and you should take your cue from godly men and godly women who are obedient in this manner. May people see the beauty of our spirit. May people see our love and our joy and our peace and our gentleness. May the Lord be glorified by what we put on. And before I end, I need to emphasize that there is clothing that needs to be put on. If you are not saved, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah tells us about garments of salvation, robes of righteousness. And before you even think another thought about what to put on for church, my friend, if you are not saved, you need to put your mind to this, that you must clothe yourself in righteousness. And it's not your own righteousness. It's not your own good works. You are to clothe yourself with Christ Jesus, who has become to us righteousness from God. You see, on the cross, when Jesus died, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we would become the righteousness of God in him. He died in order to supply us clothing, garments of salvation. And those garments of salvation, those robes of righteousness, are put on through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you are here and you are unclothed in those robes of righteousness, I would call you and I would urge you now to put them on. You need those robes of righteousness, because without them, no one will be allowed to enter into heaven. Only with the robe of righteousness supplied by God through Jesus Christ can you enter into God's kingdom. This is important. I would have you do this a first priority. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, Father, help us. Help us every day to put on holiness, to walk in righteousness, to put sin to death, and help us to dress ourselves inside and out in a way that pleases you. That when we come to worship you, every eye would be turned to Christ and not to us. Let us get out of the way that all people may see your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.